In our readings for today, we have a long reading from Tobit about when the angel Raphael and Tobiah entering Media and getting close to Ecbatana, where they stay with Ragul, who is a relative of Tobiah and Tobit, and that is where they encounter Sarah. Our gospel is one where the scribe comes to Jesus from Mark. At first glance, these two might not have anything to do with each other. One is a scribe asking Jesus about commandments. The other one is a story of a man searching for a wife from among a suitable kinswoman. However, let us take a look at the gospel for today and then in our first reading. Normally, when we hear a scribe or a Pharisee interacting with Jesus, we think this is not going to be good. Remember that famous phrase, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." But this is an interaction where Jesus and the scribe had a positive interaction, which is what should be. The scribe came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" And Jesus replied, "The first is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And if we ended today's reflection on that, then we would certainly be good, because reflecting upon that in our daily situations is certainly enough to be going on with. However, since we do have that long first reading, let us look at that with these eyes. Looking at it as a sense of respect and interaction. In the gospel, the scribe and Jesus had respect in their interaction with each other. When Jesus says to the scribe, "You are not far from the kingdom of God," everyone stopped because that was heavy material for them to hear. No one dared to ask him any more questions, is the final line of our gospel. That respect between the scribe and Jesus is the lens which we might consider for the reading from Tobit today. Sarah had been given in marriage to 7 men, all of whom were kinsmen of ours, Ragul says, and all died on the very night they approached her. "But now, son, eat and drink. I'm sure the Lord will look after you both." Well, this is an odd situation. Perhaps we should look at it more as a parable than as a historical story. 7 is one of those numbers in Scripture that means something. It is a special number. One could say it is the fullness. We have 7 sacraments, for instance. As a church, that is the fullness of sacraments. And that being the case, 7 is probably more meant to say something than to tell the story of a woman who had been given in marriage to 7 men, all of whom died on their wedding night, because that would be a tragedy for the 8 families involved. Certainly, the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and so on man approaching in marriage would have grave doubts, as would their families. And as a practical matter, they'd probably just decide, this isn't going to happen. Let's not go enter into the marriage contract. So looking at it as a parable, if the fullness of the men who are being given in marriage to Sarah and receiving her in marriage does not come to fruition, then why does the 8th succeed? Let us look at the actions and words in our first reading. Raguel called his daughter Sarah, and she came to him. He took her by the hand and gave her to Tobiah with the words, "Take her according to the law. According to the decree written in the book of Moses, she is your wife. Take her and bring her back safely to your father. And may the God of heaven grant you both peace and prosperity." In that, those words might have been said for the first seven men. So what was different? If you look later in the reading, we see, after her mother cried over her, she wiped away the tears and said, "Be brave, my daughter. May the Lord grant you joy in place of your grief. Courage, my daughter." When the girl's parents left the bedroom and closed the door behind them, Tobiah arose from bed and said to his wife, "My love, get up. Let us pray and beg our Lord to have mercy on us and to grant us deliverance." She got up, and they started to pray and beg that deliverance might be theirs. And they began to say, "Blessed are you, O God of our fathers. Praise be your name forever and ever. Let the heavens and all your creation praise you forever. You made Adam, and you gave him his wife Eve to be his help and support, and from these two the human race descended. You said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. Let us make him a partner like himself.' Now, Lord, you know that I take this wife of mine not because of lust, but for a noble purpose. Call down your mercy on me and on her, and allow us to live together to a happy old age." Could this prayer and focus on God being part of their relationship be the message that we're supposed to hear today in our readings? If we love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our understanding, our entire will, and we love our neighbor as ourself, could the difference be that Tobiah approached his wife with the love and respect that he would have for neighbors, with the love and respect that he would have for himself, with the love and respect that he has for God in placing God in that relationship? Could our message be, spouses should look lovingly upon each other as equals, not as property, not as associations or business contracts, but as someone whom you give yourself to completely, freely, fully. Someone whom you respect as much as, maybe even greater than you respect yourself. Someone whom you love with as much love as you give to God, and that you ask God to be in that relationship with you. Certainly in our world, there are many marriages that are dysfunctional. And dysfunction can enter into any marriage. We are human, after all, and human beings are flawed people. As the penitential rite at each liturgy reminds us, we are sinful people. So we can fall into sin. We can fall into human patterns. We can have different medical situations, psychological, mental health, that impede upon our interactions with others. Some of those we can overcome with help, others will be a continual struggle. But always in all situations, we must look at each other with forgiveness, with forbearance, and with that love that we hear about in our first reading, and that Jesus speaks so kindly with the scribe about in our gospel. If we think about all the dysfunction that happens in the world, all the people who have committed crimes, who have had sinful behaviors, who have caused stress to themselves and to others because they had a dysfunctional family, think about the love that is needed to cure, to heal these situations. Let us approach each other with that tenderness, and let those of us who are married approach the other with the tender love that we hear about in that first reading. I know that for myself, the next time I encounter this reading in a wedding, I will hear it in new light after reflecting upon it for our reading today.